Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest calling line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Welcome, everybody. This is Dave Lickin. As Drew just announced, here I get by myself. It's just Dave Lickin, and then I tell everybody my name again. So anyway, it is Monday, May 23rd. We are going out the door on this month, and this year is racing fast. Next week is Memorial Day. We will be having a show next week. It's going to be a special talking about the Mortgage Leader Cruise. You will not want to miss that show. If you're out having fun, at least go back, download, and listen to it. But we enjoy having each of you eat with us each and every week. It is always so rewarding. I go to a conference, and so many of you stop up and say, I really enjoy your program. Listen to it every week. Tony just had that experience. We're going to hear about that here in a minute. But Joe Farr last week was gone because he was having an anniversary trip. This week he is gone. He's at the Texas Mortgage Bankers Association. So once again, you're going to have to endure me giving the mortgage rate update, normally given by Joe Farr, MBS Quote Line. Joe, if you're listening in, have yourself a great conference. We miss you here. Hurry up. We need you back to do this. Last week, let's talk about last week. We had weaker than expected economic data, which helped mortgage rates go to a lower level. On Wednesday, the Feds were talking about the fact they're going to try to be selling its portfolio of mortgage-backed securities to help ease or to ease the improvement. So there's some things going on out there at that level. Economic data that was released fell far short of what most investors thought. So overall, last week was a pretty good week for interest rates. Today, what's really interesting is that talk is all about I had the privilege of talking to Dr. Dan, as we affectionately refer to him. He went to quickly say, I'm really not a doctor, but as far as we've given him here at Lickin' on Lending an honorary doctorate degree, because this guy studies these screens, he looks at it, he gives us such great feedback. Joe brings it to us each and every week. And so Dr. Dan says what's dominating the news right now is the European countries, specifically the concern over the European countries, the risk of global economics and the failure, global economic failure, or some challenges out there, specifically with Greece, Spain, and Italy. Therefore, there's a tendency right now to have a flight to quality today. That's hurting stocks and helping bonds and definitely benefiting mortgage rates today. So I'm on their website right now, MBS Quoteline's website. I see that prices are up 6/32nd, right as the most just before a few moments ago. So it was up 8/32nd before that. And so that's kind of what's happening right now. This week, what we get to look forward to is Dr. Dan said two primary things that we should be looking at is the durable goods order and the core PCE inflation index, I think is what we're referring there. Lord knows we need him here to explain what all that is. But those are the two we should be looking at. You can find that on the economic calendar. You'll see that. That, by the way, the durable goods order is out on Wednesday, and Friday is the core PCE inflationary index. Again, here's one of the things he said that's so critical. Oh, two other things before I go there. New home sales data will be released tomorrow, and pending home sales data will be coming out on, was it Tuesday or Wednesday? I'm not sure. It's coming out here as well a little bit later in the week. And I think it's on Thursday, actually. Those are going to be some things the data points you're going to want to also look at. But here's the deal. We are, most investors out that are trading the bonds, specifically mortgage backs, that are affecting how interest rates are going to be moving, are all focused on one thing, inflation. There is, anytime we see any news event that's going to cause or have an implied effect and causing inflation to go higher, there will be an immediate reaction in the market. So that's what we're looking for. That's what Dr. Dan and our team over there at MBS Quoteline, who we appreciate so much, keeping us all informed and all of this said, be watching that. Anything there, it would have, could have a dramatic effect on interest rates. Dramatic is my choice of words, not theirs. So anyway, Joe, hurry up, get back. I love doing this, filling in for you, but I also just love the way you do it. I get a little worked up when I look at some of this information. I get a little excited. So anyway, Joe, have a great conference. We miss you. Thank you to Dr. Dan and the staff at MBS Quoteline. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoteline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoteline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market,
whether you're in the office or on the road.
See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to mbsquoteline.com to start a risk-free two-week trial.
mbsquoteline.com.
646-716-4972. The Lickin' on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dave Lickin, and we're talking about legislative updates. There is a lot going to be talking. We're going to be talking about. We're going to get into just a review, and then at the end of the program, everyone, we're going to be getting back into a discussion and get an update on QRM. You're going to want to stay tuned all the way through the broadcast today to get an update on the QRM discussion. It's on ongoing developments, and so Alice is going to bring us up to date at the end of the program. But as we do each and every week, Alice brings us the legislative traffic report. What's coming down the highway at us right now, Alice?
Well, Dave, as usual, you know, we're going to have to expect as the next few years evolve, there's going to be a lot of legislation coming out about what's going to happen with Fannie and Freddie. And so, you know, I announced several weeks ago about 8 bills that had been introduced to try and address what is the future of Fannie and Freddie. Well, we have a new round of bills that just came out again. These targeting some slightly different items, and really it's just I'm going to stop giving bill names because I think that's just going to be confusing for everybody. Because eventually what will happen is these will start to consolidate into more uniform
right.
ideas, just like Dodd-Frank started out as a bunch of separate rules and bills that eventually ended up into one piece. So the concepts right now that are being worked on are very similar to what the Mortgage Bankers Association published on the concept of a mortgage credit guarantor entities that perhaps we would create these MCGs, M-C-G-E, mortgage credit guarantor entities that would serve as kind of a quasi-similar function as Fannie Freddie with a lot more restrictions on it. So the bills start with
did you call that,
MCG? Yeah. Mortgage
is it going to have golden arches over it?
Entities, right? McG's, not to be confused with a McMuffin. Nothing to do with McDonald's. So along the lines of where the bills are going with this is the Treasury Department would not be allowed to lower the dividend payment that we're getting from Fannie and Freddie right now. That's got to stay at the 10%. It would open up the Freedom of Information Act, making sure they would be subject to the Freedom of Information Act. It would make sure they dispose of all non-mission critical assets, just try and really scale them back, set a dollar cap for the amount of money that we would, as taxpayers, be responsible for bailing them out. I like that one. We would also have to ensure that the new entities don't exactly replicate what Fannie and Freddie had. You know, there have to be some substantial changes. It would prohibit taxpayer funding of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac's employee legal fees, another important component in that, because you can see how a lot of this with Fannie and Freddie is going to be years down the road as far as trying to say, you know, was anybody at fault. Really looking to try and set up, you know, similar to the bill that John Campbell and Congressman Gary Peters put together to try and establish low-level government-backed guarantees instead of the two major ones that we have now. So if you want to keep up to date, I recommend at least reading what the MBA published in their guidelines, MBA's recommendation for the future government role in the core secondary market mortgage market was a good write-up that was out quite some time ago that you can find on their website. So we're still waiting, but at least that now we have another round of legislation to try and see where are Fannie and Freddie going in the future. It's going to take a long time to unwind. Next, I want you to have a heads up. We have two comment periods that you all need to jump in on. We've talked about this on previous shows. The credit risk retention proposed rule under the Truth in Lending Act, comment period is open until June 10th. This proposal is the one that includes the 5% risk retention requirement if the loan is not a qualified residential mortgage. So if a loan is a qualified residential mortgage, we will not have to hold back 5% or retain 5% in assets in the event that we originate one of those loans. And so look at the definition of QRM. Right now it's going to include Fannie and Freddie, FHA, VA, RD, most of our products. But once Fannie and Freddie are out of conservatorship, now we need a definition for what's a standard mortgage, what defines a qualified residential mortgage. This proposal is running hand-in-hand with the qualified mortgage proposed rule. That one, we have a longer comment period. We have until July 21st for the qualified mortgage. What does this really mean? What does qualified mortgage really mean? It means liability. Dave, you talked about on a previous show
about
the plaintiff's bar, right?
Yes.
That they're already kind of working on where their angle may be on this. But the idea that as lenders we would be responsible for making sure we proved in the file that the borrower has the ability to repay. So qualified mortgage definitions get way into the weeds of underwriting. I mean, in this proposed rule, it actually references the 4155, using that as a core underwriting criteria. But then there are multiple sections with credit overlays on top of the 4155. So it's going to make lending very time-consuming to try and define what is a qualified mortgage. I think because we have an extra time window on that one until July 21st, we'll be diving more into that on some future shows as well. All right, another piece. Okay, go out to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau website. Maybe you haven't been there yet. You can do CFPB.org, .gov, or you can do consumerfinance.gov. Get to their website, and they already have the sample combined GFE and Truth in Lending disclosures, right? You're all just getting used to your new GFEs. I know you're just getting there, but now we're going to get a new form. I personally like example number 2. There's no difference between 1 and 2 other than the layout, but if you take a good hard look at the information on page 2, I see that the feds have taken some feedback from us as an industry. We don't like the good faith estimate today because it doesn't have a line for example lender and seller contributions. This new form actually applies some of the things that we've been saying need to be improved. We have to show the consumer their net costs, not just the total cost on the GFE. So it's worth taking a look at the forms. You might as well start getting your feedback in now about the forms so that you can say, here's what else we can do to improve them to make them more user-friendly for the consumer. So the deadline for that is May 27th. You only have till Friday. They just posted this.
Wow.
They gave us a short window to comment. So get out there right away. All right, 2 other implementation dates. July 21st, you know, is the big day for the CFPB to officially start taking the reins, but we also have 2 new disclosures that day. You should make sure your software company is ready for the new adverse action notice format that has to go out starting that day. And procedurally, you set up that you're going to make sure the notice to home loan applicant, the credit score on that form, that your borrower is getting the one that shows the score that was used in the loan decision. 2 big implementation dates, about a little over a month away. All right. Actually, I guess that's 2 months. Time flies, right?
When you're watching legislation, it seems like it's like watching the molasses drip in December. So.
Well, I don't want to forget. I want to make sure everybody gets the deadlines. Write them down. And then last but not least, we just wanted to bring to the forefront that the FDIC did file a lawsuit in U.S. District Court against CoreLogic and various affiliates of CoreLogic, as well as LSI, Lender Services, and just E-Appraise It, and all these, you know, the subsidiaries of these two main corporations. This has really been out there. For those of you who really watch litigation, ultimately one of the original suits came from the suit for the New York Attorney General and how we ended up with HVCC. Well, this is still continuing. We're still seeing challenges on, you know, appraisals through those two entities, and these are WAMU appraisals back at that time. So we are going to watch this because we're trying to get a handle on how they're going to define, egregious violations of USBAP. We have appraiser independence laws now in place, and we just, as lenders, want to start to get a handle on what procedures are we going to have to put in place to make sure we're responding carefully and providing information to state regulators as we see violations. We don't want to see, you know, automated responses up to the state for complaints, but we're going to watch litigation because that's some of the concern under appraiser independence is, you know, do these other lawsuits set some type of precedence for what we should expect with appraiser independence and laws moving forward. So anyway, that's my 2 cents on a legislative update today, Dave.
Good job. My goodness, a lot going on. And we're going to be talking more later in the program about QRM. Also, I forgot to mention we've got a special guest. We've got Monica, and I'm so excited, from the Informa Research Services Group. We're going to be talking about the secret shopper services they have, how you can do a better job of monitoring all that's going on. You will want to stay tuned for Monica Najera's presentation. We're going to be our questions. We're going to visit and conversations with the panelists as we go on into the program. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals,
providing classroom and web-based delivery,
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record, performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees, both live and online, on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lickin'.
All right. Remember, we're going to stay tuned for Monica Najera later on in the program, shortly after this. But as we do each and every week, the Profit Doctor is coming to tell us how to fix what ails our bottom line. Profit Doctor Andy Schell, good to have you with us. What do you got for us today, Dave?
Thank you very much. You know, as Alice was reading off that website, I did what she said. She said, go to this website, Consumer for Financial Protection Bureau. So I did. And you know what they're saying? They got a pretty cool saying. It says, know before you owe. I thought, that's a good idea. Look before you leap. Know before you owe. And it was consumerfinance.gov. We need to be paying attention to this because they're going to control how we operate in the very near future. So, Dave, today the topic of the Profit Doctors is, you know, I was thinking about just some random obscure things and, you know, perspective, intensity.
You random? No.
Yeah, you know, just kind of out there. And so I thought it was relevant because I've been dealing with a lot of client issues lately, and perspective, intensity, and measurement kind of coalesce in resolving some of the issues. So I'm going to talk about how. So one of the things that I was reminded about is that several months ago, actually we were on an airplane together, Dave, several months ago I was reading an article about the movie director James Cameron. You know, he directed Titanic and Avatar, you know, a couple of very popular movies. And in the magazine,
one of my favorite directors.
Yeah, absolutely, and among other movies as well. In the magazine, there's a picture of him covering one eye with his hand, so he's only looking with his other eye, and he has the perspective of the camera lens. He has the same perspective as the camera. So he controlled his perspective to be the same as the camera because he wanted to see what the camera sees. And that's such a great image because that's what we need to do too. We need to control our perspective to see things from the perspective of, you know, the originator or, you know, the broker or the underwriter or the people in the company. We need to try to step in their shoes and see what life looks like from their perspective. And the same thing goes when we're looking at our business. We need to look at it objectively, and we need to look at it based on facts and not just our impression of what we think things should be. We need to really see what it really is. Because, you know, Dave, you're a pilot. When you fly VFR, you know, you're not paying attention to the instruments
yep.
there necessarily, looking at the horizon.
Visual flight rules for those that don't know what VFR.
Oh, thanks. So you're flying along, and you got a nice clear view of the horizon. It's nice and pretty
okay.
blue, and you're flying along. And, you know, you might be okay, but when you fly by the seat of your pants and you hit and there's a storm coming or you hit turbulence, you can crash. I mean, it can be bad.
Yes, you
and
can.
So flying by the seat of your pants can be mm-hmm. fun when you're out in the middle of nowhere with clear blue skies. Try to land at JFK Airport doing that, and you're going to be dead. So it's important that we understand that it's fun to fly by the seat of our pants, but we really got to have a clear understanding. It doesn't matter what we think the numbers are. It doesn't matter what we believe the numbers ought to be. All that matters is what they really are. So I bring this up because the facts of a business are a representation of what we've accomplished, and they have to be accurate so that we can get a clear perspective of our past results, because that's what they are. They're looking at the past. But, you know, Dave, we like to talk about the future, and so we also need to have a perspective about the future and have a perspective about the future based on reasonable assumptions, so we have a reasonable representation of the future. And I'm bringing this up because, Dave, as you know, we've got a number of private investment groups that we're working with, and
Absolutely.
Private investors who are looking at investing in the mortgage company. It's happening faster and faster and faster than we've, I think, really, I guess, ever seen. Lots of capital interested in the market, and we'll talk a little bit more about why here in just a minute. But the point I wanted to make is that these investment funds are looking primarily at one factor when they look at a mortgage bank, just one factor, and that's called a PAROI, a PAROIA, a PAROI, and that stands for Probability Adjusted Return on Investment. Now, everybody knows what an ROI is, and the reason the probability adjusted aspect of that is so important is because they're going to assess what's the probability of the investment being returned. What's the probability of achieving the expected returns? What's the probability of management being able to implement the strategy that's outlined? What's the probability of all these other things happening? And so they live by PAROI. And so and the point I was going to make here is the first impression of the PAROI is based on management's ability to demonstrate accurate results from the past. So we had this happen recently. If your accounting is not tuned up, most investors are just going to automatically pass. There's no get-out-jail-free card. You're done. Because having a poor financial system is a reflection of poor management, and it's too much uncertainty, and because the risk of poor financials are often a reflection of poor management. And so when investors are looking at mortgage companies, or maybe this mortgage company is, you know, doing $20 million and thinks they can get to $100 million, you know, the smell test, the sniff test, you know that, Dave, right? So you go in, you look at their financials, and the balance sheet doesn't balance, or the content of the KPIs are incomplete. That's already a great big red flag. Just don't do it. Do it right the first time. So, you know, the reason private capital is looking at the company now, and this is one of my favorite analogies, is that we've all gone through a lot. Dave, Alice, and I have all been in the business since, you know, the 70s. I won't mention 60s because I know it's really the 70s for you, Dave. But,
please, don't go back any further. It hurts enough already.
Yeah, Alice and I are probably late 70s and you're earlier 70s, but that's okay.
Yep.
So we've gone through a lot. We've seen a lot. We've been through a lot. We've seen what we've seen. And the last 3 years, I just as soon not do again if it's all the same. But what we do know is that whenever we see changes, it's an opportunity to increase market share. Whenever we see turmoil, it's an opportunity to take advantage of the disruption to implement a new strategy. I mean, Dave, you put together the LOS that you built during the midst of some
mm-hmm.
turbulent times when people were needing additional technology. And the reference I like to use is everybody knows the movie Forrest Gump. And, you know, it's a famous movie. And so Forrest Gump and Lieutenant Dan are out riding out the hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico, and and Lieutenant Dan's fighting with God over losing his legs, and all this happens. And but in the meantime, Forrest and Lieutenant Dan are out on the ocean, getting bounced around severely, but their boat didn't get destroyed. So when they came back, when they got back to shore, the competition had been wiped out. They were gone. And so it was an amazing opportunity for them to then launch the what became the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company that, you know, made them all millionaires and on. So, you know, just because there's turmoil doesn't mean it's bad. It means it's an opportunity to grow. And as we launch these growth ideas, one other analogy here is that when we launch into opportunities for growth, it doesn't just happen. Success doesn't just happen, and success isn't random. Success happens because success is ripped from the jaws of defeat. The way that you make a business drive and be profitable is you have an intensity. You have an intensity that pushes forward and makes it so that the next objective is accomplished. And we need to have that kind of intensity now in the business because we've gone through a lot. There's amazing opportunities now, and we need to have this intensity. And I'm going to describe this intensity this way. When we have a little Shelfie, and whenever I feed her, you know, I get the scoop out and reach into the food and get a scoop of food in a little container, and I'm getting ready to go over to her bowl, and she is focused on me. She is looking at me. She's looking at that scoop. There could be a bomb go off behind her, and she wouldn't flinch because all she cares about is that, where's my food, where's my food, where's my food? Focused, focused, focused. And we need that kind of intensity as we pursue our opportunities going forward now in this business. So as I wrap up now, lastly, just want for everybody to have a clear perspective as we're talking about all these things about dynamics. Focusing on the opportunity does not mean that we're blind to the situation around us. We have to adapt to dynamics. We know there's dynamics. There's dynamics in the world markets, in the U.S. markets. Dave was talking about earlier doing the financial update. There's dynamics in the world, and we have to adapt to the dynamics as they happen. New regulations are coming in. So we have to be intense and adaptable at the same time, and we must adapt and measure our results every day. You don't just come to work and wonder what you're going to do. You need to have a plan of action for you and everybody else in your company in how are you going to advance your vision, how are you going to advance your goals, how are you going to get to tomorrow and have it be better than it was today. And that comes by measuring results and measuring your activity. And, of course, what's everybody going to have, Dave? They're going to have reports that show them their profit per loan, profit per branch, profit by originator, and they're going to have loan-level accounting because that's really the only way you're going to survive moving forward. Just accept the fact that it has to be this way. So in closing, Dave, all this leads to profit. All this leads to the path to profit, and having a perspective to see the opportunity in front of us is just amazing. And I know, Dave, you help a lot of companies with their visioning and help them see that. Have a well-documented set of results and financials along with a solid financial forecast. Measure the progress. You have to adjust as needed, but measure the progress every day, every hour, every minute moving forward. That's what it takes to be successful moving forward in a business. And then launch the effort to capitalize on the opportunities. We've got amazing growth opportunities. I think, Dave, you've quoted many times, the decline in volume has been accelerated beyond the decline in supply has dropped faster than the decline in demand.
Exactly.
Even though
right.
Housing is down.
Yep.
There's fewer service providers out there. It's an opportunity to grab market, take a hold, make this be an amazing opportunity for everybody. Make today be an amazing day by using your time wisely, moving all of your agendas forward day by day. So that's my segment for today, Dave. Thanks for listening.
Good. Profit Doctor. Not surprising that you'd be talking about the bottom line being the profit doctor, and that's what's so important. KPIs, I think, is probably one of the most things. Everyone goes, KPIs. Okay, I should know that. Key performance indicators. Andy talks about this all the time. And I'll tell you, folks, you got to be knowing those more than ever. And guess where you're getting the data? You're having to file this call report now. It's all right there. Can't wait to talk more about it. Thank you so much, Profit Doctor. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their
business to the next level
and guide them down a path towards success and profitability.
With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dave Licken, and we are thrilled to have you with us. We're talking now. We're going to go into a discussion with Monica Nahara, who is with Informa. I want to make sure I'm looking at it right here in front of me, and I can't see it. Informa. There it is. Research Services. Monica, I have it all printed out all here, and something went right on over it. So Informa Research Services. You don't have to be nervous about a program. The host is blowing it and making it all interesting to get the start up. Anyway, Monica, so good to have you. By the way, for listeners, Informa Research Services is headquartered in Calabasas. They're a premier provider of competitive intelligence and compliance testing, and that's the reason the latter one, compliance testing, is what this program we're going to get into. Informa specializes in evaluating and adherence with regulatory requirements and bank policies. For those of us in the mortgage industry, we have, you know, done our best to require to be compliant, but there's certainly a lot more to be compliant with. And how are we doing that? Informa Research is very involved in helping companies just like yours monitor how are you complying and are you adhering to all the new regulatory requirements. Monica has a background, started out in consulting. I knew I liked her the first time I talked to her. Maybe that's why. She worked with some of the top financial institutions for 12 years, and she has, with an emphasis on the regulatory change management and self-monitoring and issues, she has worked with a number of lenders, banks, credit unions, government agencies across the country, and we're honored to have you, Monica, be with us. Sorry for
Thank
blowing
you.
The, your
day.
Company name. That's not a very so you can tell that I don't. I'm obviously a mortgage banker, not a professional talk show. It's so good to have you with us, and I appreciate you getting and being willing to come on the program and sharing with our audience some ideas of how they might be able to monitor how their company is doing on the adherence to these new regulations. So, tell us about compliance testing and your company and how it goes, how you guys go about it today.
Sure. Well, the testing that we do today is specifically geared towards the financial services industry. Like you mentioned, we focus in on assessing adherence to various requirements, whether they're regulatory-related, agency guidance-related, or even with institutional bank policies. The subjects that we cover span anywhere from fair lending testing, which is a hot, hot topic today, non-deposit investment product compliance, so are people being put into the right investment products based on their risk profiles, and of course, just with the regulatory environment as it is today, our testing has spanned into many other hot topics.
Sure.
The one unique thing I'd like to mention about our testing program is we employ market research methodologies to capture the customer experience. So that might be a little
you
bit.
You use market. What was that again? Market.
Oh, market research methodologies. So what that means is we have the ability to capture the customer experience. We know the voice of the customer and customer experience today has really had an emphasis. Everywhere you turn, you see new articles about consumer protection and customer's voice.
Yeah.
So the types of methodologies, mystery shopping methodology is one type. So what does mystery shopping mean, right?
What is that?
Yeah, we employ individuals to act as if they were a consumer about to engage in a transaction with the institution. So that means we send someone from our company to the institution, and they really pretend to be a consumer about to engage in a transaction. We work with what we call them testers. We don't call them mystery shoppers, but we call them testers. We work with them to document their experience from start to finish. The other methodology we employ is by executing post-transaction surveys. So we'll work with the institution to identify actual consumers of the bank and capture their experiences via a survey. So both of these methodologies are really important in capturing things that you might not be able to see, you know, in reviewing a loan file or in reviewing the paper trail of a transaction. It really gives you, like I said, the insight into the customer experience and what's really going on out there.
Well, Monica, hi, it's really Michelle. It's great to have you on the program. I had a question for you. And this may be obvious, but I'd still like to get your feedback on why would a bank want to do this kind of testing?
Right, that's a great question. So there are several reasons a bank would want to do this types of testing. One is what I call the proactive approach to identifying issues. So lots of institutions have monitoring programs in place or audit programs in place today where they, you know, like look at paper trails or look at the transaction itself. This type of testing gives you an advanced view into, you know, what are the things that are going on in the transaction that you might not be able to see through a paper trail. So that type of information will give you good insight as to, you know, processes that are being employed or what's being communicated to the consumer, really kind of gives you that proactive view into identifying issues as early on as possible, and it complements monitoring programs that may look at, you know, your paper trail today. Another reason is just with the amount of regulatory requirements and changes that have taken place over the past several years. You know, lots of institutions have had to, you know, implement new procedures or new processes. So whenever you implement new procedures or processes, you know, things may or may not go right. So this this type of testing also gives you really, you know, valuable information as to maybe what's working and what's not, and what are the impacts to the consumer with those changes.
So, hi, Monica. Welcome to the program. This is Alice.
Yeah.
So you've been, you know, so there have been so many regulatory changes. How is this affecting you at Informa and your clients?
Yeah, so one of our goals is to really always ensure our programs remain relevant to today's market. So with that, we've always managed a very dynamic environment. So products change often, product offerings and pricing may change often. So we really are positioned well to manage to such a dynamic environment. We have seen expanded opportunities to work with our clients to test, you know, new regulatory requirements such as the SAFE Act and loan officer registration. So our people that are assisting consumers out there, in fact, registered appropriately within the NMLS database. And you were talking about GFC requirements earlier, and with respect to RESPA, we've been able to test to see how those GFCs are being positioned to consumers out there in the marketplace.
So it's not just is the GFE filled in right, it's the customer experience in looking at the GFE. So like how the loan originator explained it, like they didn't put it in front of the customer and go, you know, I have to give you this form, but here's this other one that I can really explain better than the one that I'm supposed to make it to you.
Yeah, well, it's funny that you mentioned that because I think, you know, prior to the RESPA changes in 2010, you know, good faith estimates were given out kind of really at the institution's discretion, and there weren't really limitations on how many times you could redisclose. So we've seen institutions employ different tactics for providing estimates of cost versus a GFE, but then we've also seen some hiccups where GFEs may be given prior to really them being required or maybe prior to them, you know, needing to be given. So it's
do they act, does your customer actually get a report? So you say you send out the testers, you know, if you're using a mystery shopper or tester, and they fill in something after they've had this experience with the lender as the borrower. And so then the client's receivable from you is like a report of sorts, of even down to a very detailed level of what the customer's exact feedback was?
Yeah, absolutely. Our our questionnaires are designed to capture both the qualitative information and quantitative information. So you have, you know, your narrative from the tester that we ask them to document from start to finish. What was the sequence of events that you experienced as you went through this transaction? And then they answer a series of questions that capture the quantitative, so the yes, no's, checking off certain boxes about documents asked for. And, you know, like you said, our clients can get very detailed information down to the test level. And we also aggregate at the institution level to give an overall picture of how the institution is trending. And there's many different cuts that we can, you know, segregate the data into branches, into regions. One thing I do want to mention that has really been quite interesting, when we do fair lending testing, we employ, you know, a match pair methodology where we take, for example, a minority tester and a non-minority tester. We give them the same profile, their income, the house value they're looking at, their debts, and we have them walk the same process. And, you know, out of that process comes, out of that process comes their documented experience and also the quantitative. And
not necessarily with the same loan officer, right? So what are some of the examples you've seen in the studies that your team's conducted?
Yeah, well, we have actually focused on targeting same loan officers with our institutions, and sometimes they differ. You know, Informa's been doing this type of testing for over 27 years, so through large issues and small issues and success stories, we've seen it all. What's interesting is that sometimes when you're testing for a particular topic, such as fair lending, you might uncover issues that you didn't anticipate, like privacy issues, where a loan officer has, you know, information about other applicants on his or her desk. We've seen, that's a problem. We know.
Big one.
Probably big. And we've also seen, you know, just with the economy and the downturn, I think there's been a lot of reductions in force in the field out there. So we've seen some institutions, you know, really be short-staffed, where it's really hard for a consumer to even get in the door and get an appointment. So that obviously leads to operational risk and potential losses in revenues. And then more interestingly enough, we've seen an emphasis on relationship deepening. So a lot of banks are competing out there for market share. We see cross-selling opportunities left and right, from deposit accounts, credit accounts, or savings accounts, when someone's actually going in for maybe a mortgage loan. So lots of interesting
That's
stuff
interesting.
Out there that we gleaned. Yeah.
You know, Alice and I were talking before the program, and she says, you know what, there was a she was talking to one company, and Alice is familiar with this process that you're talking about, the mystery shopper, so to speak. I'm not sure I like that title per se, because, you know, should be nothing mystery. We should be out there providing great service. But she said that one of her loan officers that she was training made a comment, says, oh, no, I can always spot a mystery shopper a mile away. Sounds like you guys do a really good job of doing that. I mean, do you ever have that happen where they go, are you a mystery shopper or anything like that? I mean, how do you overcome that? That's amazing.
Well, we do train our testers to be able to respond in an appropriate manner. What's a mystery shopper? I have no idea what you're talking about. But we also are very careful, and we don't want to, for example, over-test. We always are careful of detection. We spread our testing out over a period of time. And we also vary the scenarios. We work with our institutions to vary scenarios so that we don't have something out there in the field that kind of starts to be a trend with loan officers. So we're really careful about that. We've got some really good practices
good.
In place to curb that. Yeah.
That's excellent. Well, if an institution decides to do a mystery shopping for compliance and self-testing, what are some of the considerations? I think some of our listeners should be considering it, and hopefully they will, and we'll reach out to you, and we're going to give you, our listeners, some contact information here in a minute. But what should be their considerations if they launch a program like this?
So in order to launch a program like this, I think it's important to, of course, understand the institution's current operations and associated risks. you know, we've seen a lot of changes from production coming in through the door via over the telephone. So it's really important to understand the operations. Number two, don't design a program based on assumptions of issues you think are present. For example, if you suspect a certain behavior is taking place where, you know, folks or individuals are being steered towards a certain loan product, don't focus on that loan product. First, capture the entire process, and then focus on looking at that behavior. And then most importantly, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, go ahead.
Oh,
most, when you start most importantly, I'm not going to stop you when you're with most important.
So most importantly, I mean, a lot of energy and work goes into designing these testing programs, a lot of emphasis on how to get it right. But most importantly,
yeah,
be ready to have a process in place to manage the results. So what I mean by that is, you know, be prepared. If your results detect an issue, be ready to at least have a process in place to manage that issue. Don't let that process be defined when you get the deliverable. Let's define it up front together so that we can better position the institution to react to such.
Fascinating information. So the name of the company is, again, I got it right, Informa Research Services. And we've been speaking with Monica Nahara, actually. I want to get the right the vowel in there. Monica Nahara. And she is in the Director of Compliance and Risk Management for Informa Research Services. And if you want to learn more, you can go to their website, www.informars. So informars.com. Do I have it right, Monica?
You certainly do.
Okay, good. Thank you so much for being with us. And our listeners, I really want to encourage you to reach out, go out to their website, take a look at this. Here's the deal. We've got so much regulation coming at us, and it's a bit overwhelming. Alice is telling us about more, and you're going to hear in just a few minutes about how much more is yet to come. And I think there's only one way you're going to be able to monitor all this. And here's what's interesting. If you do get in a situation where you're being brought into question by one of the regulatory bodies, if you're employing a service like what Informa Research Services provides, you have a much stronger defense rather than saying, well, you know what, I don't know. What's also interesting is I'm hearing more and more that some of the regulatory bodies are using various mystery shopping services out there to go after the mortgage industry, to test the mortgage industry. So it's important that you be doing it. If you're being proactive, you're doing it, your defense is much stronger. Thank you so much, Monica, for being with us, and apologize to everyone in your company for covering up the name of the company and as having a blank space in my brain there for a minute. But so good to have you with us. We look forward to having you back. Folks, we'll be back after this brief break.
PMI Mortgage Insurance Company is the clear choice for your higher LTV conventional borrowers. Unlike FHA, PMI offers a choice of flexible premium plans to fit the individual needs of each borrower. From a one-time upfront cost with no renewal premium to a monthly plan with no upfront charges, PMI's premium plans recognize larger down payment and good credit history, saving your clients what can at times be thousands of dollars. PMI also provides lenders with fast electronic submission tools to increase efficiencies. Mortgage insurance is more relevant than ever, so it's important to utilize a mortgage insurer who's committed to the business for the long term. It is vital that you work with a company whose core competency is credit risk management and bring that wealth of knowledge to your firm. At PMI, mortgage insurance is their only business, so they have to get it right. PMI's mission is to create sustainable homeownership opportunities. To learn more about how PMI solutions can assist your business, please contact your PMI representative today or call 800-966-4PMI, 800-966-4PMI.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's Trot can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's Trot has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's Trot can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans,
fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzeltrot represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzeltrot today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzeltrot, the single source solution for your quality control needs.
And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lickin' on Lending Show.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm still trying to recover after the introduction of Monica and the covering up the name of her company. My goodness, sometimes when you do this, I'm not quitting my day job, folks. I'll be continuing to do this as we continue on with the program and provide all the information. We get so much positive feedback from so many of you as we're speaking at various conferences, and we appreciate that. In fact, Tony Garitano wasn't with us last week. We were looking for you, but he wasn't there because he was speaking at a conference. And, Tony, you ran into one of our listeners. Good to have you on the program, Tony. Good. Are you there? Tony Garitano, do we have you? Let me make sure we get your mic turned on. That would help if we do that. There we go. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
Searching for your microphone. Anyway, so you were at a conference, and I understand one of our listeners. You ran into one of our listeners.
Yeah, I wanted to share this really quick story with you, Dave. I mean, like I said, I was moderating a panel on e-mortgages at the Global Technology Summit last week, which is why I couldn't be with you. One of our listeners grabbed me and said, "Hey, you're Tony Garitano. I listen to the David Lickin Show every week, and I love the show, and I love your technology segment." So I just thought that was really great and that I should share with you. You're doing a great job.
We appreciate that, and whoever that was that walked up, I had that. And we want to say thank you to her, because and any one of you, you have no idea. Most of us, I mean, for every this 1 hour program, collectively there is like 20 hours goes into just a 1 hour program of preparation. So many people are giving into. We don't make a dime off this thing. The advertising dollars that do come in defray the cost of what we're doing. So it is public service, and it is just so nice when we hear those positive comments. That happened to me recently at the National Secondary Marketing Conference. A guy walked up to me. And, you know, one of those just a quick burst of a comment, tell this regular listener. And so anytime that goes on, we appreciate it so much. But kind of give us a rundown there at the conference. What did you hear? We'd love to get words from the conference floor.
Well, I wanted to talk to you briefly about what Doug Duncan said. He is the chief economist at Fannie Mae. He gave a State of the Union address.
Smart guy.
And, yeah, really smart guy, really great speaker. And he said that we are in year four of a 10-year cycle. He predicts.
Well, what kind of cycle is it? Is that good or bad?
He predicts that we're going to have another 2 to 3 years of new regulation and new rules that hit the market as Dodd-Frank starts to work itself out over the summer.
Wow. In addition, Alvy has got job security, man. Oh, man.
He does indeed.
What else?
He said that the GSEs are going to be will not be settled until after the 2012 election, and after that happens, there will be another 2 to 3 years of market adjustment once the decision is made and the GSEs are phased out or whatever happens to them happens to them. Hopefully.
Did he give you any indication which way he thought it was going to go, Tony? Is he anticipating? Did you get any clue from his comments? Is he anticipating a phase-out?
He was anticipating a phase-out. He was anticipating that a few smaller organizations were going to be developed, some of which were either federally subsidized or chartered. So he was predicting that the GSEs would be kind of disassembled into smaller units. But he's not obviously a politician, but that was his opinion.
Yeah.
So he was saying
I respect his opinion. Yeah, go ahead.
So he was saying that, you know, if you count that, you know, we've got 2 or 3 more years of rules and regulation and 2 or 3 more years after the GSEs get settled, plus he was hoping that in that 6-year period, we would have new investors come into the market, which would bring a period of adjustment as well. So that's why he was saying, you know, 6 more years we've got to go.
That is interesting. Yes.
I just want to say, if any of you don't know who Doug Duncan is or don't follow him, you know, he was the chief economist for the Mortgage Bankers Association before he was at Fannie Mae. Absolutely. A very, like you said, Tony, intelligent, great guy. I mean, he knows his stuff. So.
And he shoots it straight. Like, I mean, he just is a straight shooter.
And,
yeah. And he's from my hometown.
There you go. And also the good thing about
up in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. I'm sorry about that. Go ahead.
As far as economists go, I think he's a great speaker too, which is something you don't find in an economist. He's easy to understand and very articulate,
yeah.
And he's got a lot of great information.
Okay. Well, you also got a report that. Go ahead. You want to finish up that thing? I want to get to that report that you were handed.
I'm going to move on to the report. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay. Good.
Tell
us about that report
that
you got.
That I got was from Jeff Lebowitz. He's a friend of mine. He does the MoreTech survey. He's been surveying lenders about their technology habits for over 20 years. And what struck me is that this kind of dovetails into what Doug Duncan was saying, in that he says that lenders are still not ready for regulatory federal government reform. He says lenders are still adapting to competing in a down market. By and large, managerial resources have shifted to non-productive uses. Growth strategies are very conventional in that lenders are either hiring more people or laying off people instead of investing in technology. He says technology investment will be in mundane efficiency-generating projects, and lenders generally will not be ready for financial reform from the federal government.
That is not terribly surprising. It's that opens up the whole reason we had Monica Nahar on talking with Informa Research Services, because we just believe that we're so ill prepared. Alice, sounds like you again have your job cut out for you for the next 6 years here.
Well,
Tony, thank you
to the value of technology.
Yeah, it does. It really does. I think technology
will invest more in technology as a result.
Yeah, Tony, thank you so much. And it was nice to hear that our listener, that one listener walked up to you afterwards, said how much she enjoys your comments. We enjoy having you be here with us each and every week. Thank you so much.
Appreciate
your contribution. If you want to learn more and get in and learn more about what Tony is doing, it's Progress in Lending. Is that the website, Tony? Is it Progress in Lending? Do I have that right?
Yep, progressinlending.com.
Yeah, that's it. Go all the way, read the rest of it. Folks, I want to get into the QRM with Alice Alvey here just for a few minutes and Andy Schell. Alice, there's a quick update for our listeners. We have 3 minutes before the program concludes. Just in the next minute or so, what is an update on QRM? And then, Andy, jump in with any of your commentary. It's always so good.
Well, I think with the QRM, you want to make sure that you get your voice heard about loan-to-value. At least comment that 80% loan-to-value is not smart, that this is really something that is, we should look at mortgage insurance as being a compensating factor, and that loan-to-values should be offered, you know, when other compensating factors exist. You know, if we have to live with 28-36 ratios with compensating factors, that's a different discussion, but we've got to at least make sure that loan-to-value is something that is much more attainable for consumers and being able to save for the down payment.
Profit doctor comments.
I mean, that's self-evident. I mean, that would be difficult for the industry to have that as a standard. So PMI needs to matter. PMI needs to count. When you calculate the adjusted LTV for qualifying mortgages, so I think everybody. I'd be very surprised if anybody on the call doesn't agree with that. I think the hurdle for people on the call may be more of, does it really matter what I say? Does my writing an email to whomever, some nebulous source, does that even really matter? And besides, I already forgot the address, don't know what I should say. So I think if we could help with a little bit more specifics as to who to write to, not a bunch of addresses, one address people can write to and say, we don't want to have an 80% LTV. We want PMI to count toward the calculation of the QR, then I think that would be helpful. So Alice, do you have that
Alice, what is the information? Yes.
Yep. Hang on. I'm going to, like you said, Andy, you want just one address. And, of course, that particular piece of paper isn't exactly in front of me on the exact. If you want to. Okay. Out of all the piece of paper on my desk right now. Okay. So if you send an email, you can actually, if you search, you know, the FDIC has the credit risk retention proposed rule. So if
right.
you put in respond to credit risk retention in your search bucket, it'll come up as one of the first hits. If you want to send an email, you can do, there are emails that go to regs@occ.gov, and I apologize, off the top of my head there at the last minute, I couldn't pull the rabbit out of the hat.
That's all right. We'll have that out there for everybody.
For sure.
We'll have that out there when we get back, and then also I'll bring it up. If you could email me, we'll email it. So good to have you listeners with us again. Next week is Memorial Day. We will have a program. We're going to be talking about the Mortgage Leaders Cruise. We're going to have a great number of interviews with those who will be speaking on the cruise. You'll want to miss that. If you want to download that later, enjoy your Memorial Day. Thank you again to Monica Nahara and the team at Informa Research Services for being on the program today, bringing us valuable information. Tony Garitano and all of our sponsors, have a great Memorial Day and a great week, everybody. And for those of you that will be at the Texas Mortgage Bankers Association, look for us. Have a great week. Bye.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.